Drawing room over here.
Are you on the list? Oh, doesn't matter. Come on in. Here, have one of these.
Now, this is no time for a drink. We are about to take one small trip. That is the name of comedian Ross Daniel's upcoming or current. It's running in Melbourne now. It's his show. Here is the premise. Ross, hello.
Hello.
I love your premise.
Thank you very much.
Which is this. An Australian space agency has decided to send people to the moon, but they're only sending people they believe are expendable.
Ross, cue my characters.
I have a list.
Oh, of additional people to send.
Yeah. Can you fit any more?
Oh, yeah, I think so. I think we've got a bit of room in the cargo bay.
So cue your list of characters. The show, as it unfolds,
yes,
is you showing us these expendable people.
Exactly. That's right. You meet them at first. I guess I do it more as a sketch, character sketch show initially, probably for the first third, as you meet all the characters. Then you realise they all have something in common. They're being recruited. Oh, not really. They're being recruited through a reality show that maybe the government is secretly involved in, and all getting sent off to the moon, and we get to watch it being live streamed.
Wow.
That incredible, really, when you think about it.
If only they'd thought of this in 1969.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well,
or maybe they did.
Well, that coverage from the moon kind of was live streaming, wasn't it?
And it was kind of a reality show insofar as it was real.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Some would say not, but we know it was.
So, okay, space agency looking for expendable people to send to the moon.
Yes.
Yes. Australian people, expendable.
Especially my characters. Yep.
Are they specific people or are they types?
They are specific people. A lot of them based on people I know. Some of them are characters I've been doing for a while. I've introduced some new ones specifically for the show as well. I guess what they have in common is they're all misfits. They're all male. I play my same gender throughout, but then I make that an issue as well. Someone raises the question, oh, why are we sending men again? Because the only 12 people who've walked on the moon so far have been white males.
Right.
Why are we sending more white males?
Maybe there's a reason for that. Is the moon sort of exclusivist?
Possibly. We could be getting into a spoiler area now. Or will be revealed.
Oh, okay.
There's
all
a
right.
reason. There's
okay,
a reason for everything.
Nice. As you say, you play all these characters. Has this been your, you know, the sort of character work? Is that your go?
Yeah, it's always been a thing of mine, like from way back at school when I was doing impressions of teachers and getting into trouble for that. I've done it all the way through. I did a lot of stand-up in the past for about 15 years or so, and characters seem to pepper all my performances there. And these days I do less stand-up and more one-person shows, but they're usually filled from wall-to-wall with characters.
And how hard's that to sort of, so, you know, there you are, just a guy,
yeah,
doing a show with all these other people, to make those differentiations, to give people a sense of, is it important, a sense of difference, or is it all sort of development on the theme of you?
Look, there's a bit of both. You do have to keep it clear. With this show, the way I've worked it is, as I mentioned earlier, there are separate sketches where you meet the characters or they're introduced, but then the second half is all of them on the spacecraft together. And it's more like a play, and it's me jumping between characters. There's a lot of voice work and physicalization.
Not a lot of heavy costuming going on here.
No, that's the other thing. I peel that back. There's a lot of thought gone into it. In the first part of the show, there are little token costuming elements.
Yes.
But then the latter part, when they're in space together, it's more minimalistic, done with voice, and they've each got a body position that they have. So when I go into the position of that person, or traits that they have, both vocally and physically. So I try to make it very clear who's talking.
Do you dramaturg this kind of thing, or do you?
Yes, I do. Actually, my director, Emily Collier, is a terrific writer as well. So she's dramaturged it as we've gone along.
It's not actually a verb, is it?
It is now.
Tell me more about the actual characters. Give me an example or two of the people whom you are.
Okay, I guess the heart of the show is old Swampy. He's an old homeless gentleman who's a character who I've been doing for quite some time. He's a huge Bulldog supporter. He used to do the scoreboard at Witten Oval, formerly the Western Oval, back in the 70s and 80s. I made this up, of course.
Oh, but, I was about to say, really?
It's kind of based on real people. I could see how you were looking at me. But what happened in the late 80s? The scoreboard went electric and they didn't require him to do it manually.
Swampy cast so off lost, like an old shoe.
That's right, and he went into the downward spiral and into homelessness. So there's old Swampy, there's him, he's going, he's looking forward to it. I've always wanted to go to the moon, but things like that don't happen to people like me, or do they?
Ooh.
So he's going, he's taking his son with him. His son's Terry, he's a little bit worse for wear. He's indulged in a few things over the years, so he's just kind of, you know, he's happy just to have somewhere to lie down, you know, even if it is the moon. So he's going along. There's also Zark. Zark, he's a private school student. He's about 12, but he actually has got a rare aging condition, a bit like Benjamin Button. So he looks a lot more like someone my age, you know, in their late 40s.
That what? Condition.
Yeah, that yeah. condition. He's based on a bunch of kids I heard on a train about 7 or 8 years ago. Don't know if I can mention the school. They were standing behind me, and this was the conversation I actually heard. One of them said, oh, yeah, my parents, they're grooming me to take over the family business. And the other one said, what do your parents do? And he says, I don't know. I think it's got something to do with getting as much money as possible out of poor people.
That's...
And they went, yeah, okay. There was no irony at the time. They all kind of nodded.
Convenient shorthand for yeah. late stage capital.
Yeah, basically. So he's there. Graham Clone is there. He's an 80s synth pop has-been. He would say legend, but other people would say has-been. He had one hit in the early 80s, and he's been struggling ever since, and he sees this reality show as an opportunity for a comeback.
Oh, we've seen that person before.
Absolutely. If you watch any of those shows, there's always a few of them
there. Standing there telling me these names and thinking, oh, do I know that one? But no, because you've made them up.
That's right. That but they're only a sidestep away from reality.
Which is an interesting, you know, that goes to this, the creation of character in that way. You say, you know, overhearing people on a public transport or a distinct type. Are you always sort of on the prowl?
Yeah, totally. Listening, eavesdropping all the time. People probably think I'm being a bit creepy, but it's just research, everyone. That's why I'm sitting behind you on the train with my phone out. It's for another show. Yeah, it is. Obviously, you embellish and you come up with little narratives like that stuff about the scoreboard with Swampy. But yeah, I think you've got to source the truth initially.
And that's that sense of sourcing the truth. That then gives the character that grounding in something that's very familiar and therefore plausible.
Yeah.
This person is not sort of from thin air.
No, and people, as you say, like I've said Swampy, some things to you.
I was thinking, yeah, okay, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, he's not real.
Well, I live in West Footscray. I've seen those guys around. I've chatted to one or two of them a little bit and got a taste, but I've also filled in the gaps with my imagination, I guess.
Ross Daniels is an imaginative man. He's our guest in the drawing room, and if he's behind you on the bus with a phone taking notes, he's not creepy. He's doing research.
Thank you.
Ross endorsement. Well, we're here to help. Ross has a new show. It's called One Small Trip. And it's running in Melbourne. You've done Ross music in this as well.
I have. There are a couple of songs. Graham Clone sings a couple of songs, a couple of synth poppy type songs. One of them is a reference to the fact that it just seems to be white men who are going to the moon.
I think that's what we're about to hear.
White men, for so long they've been calling the shots.
White men,
we want to keep everything they've got.
White men,
they tell us that they look after the nation.
White men,
we're just the ones who look Caucasian.
White men,
they're everywhere.
Yes. A thin white, not David Bowie.
Yeah. Graham always wanted to be David, but then he realised there already was one.
That's unfortunate. So yeah. White men are fairly ubiquitous. You'd have to agree, Ross, there are two of us here.
Yes,
even as we speak.
There's no escape. Sorry, everyone.
This is an interesting thing to sort of ironically reference the whiteness of one's production. Does that forgive it or...?
I'm hoping so a little bit, but it was there, and in keeping with that moon issue of the fact that it's only been white men who've been there, I guess I had to acknowledge it.
Yes.
Yeah, and it does get wrapped up at the end. I can't say too much, but maybe there's another mission going on at the same time that's slightly more diverse. That's all I'll say.
Okay.
I'll leave it there.
All right, we're intrigued. In character work, it is, we talk about whiteness and diversity and so forth just
sure.
before. And in that, there are pitfalls. I mean, Chris Lilley's yeah. work, for example, springs to mind, and the trouble he's got into for use of blackface, of
yep.
using that to sort of broaden his range, shall we say?
Yeah.
Well, as a sort of fellow practitioner, what do you make of that sort of controversy?
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, when Chris first came along, whenever that was, oh, probably looking at, I mean, he was in the big Bite the Sketch Show, but I guess his big thing was We Could Be Heroes. Mm. That was the first series. And when he came along, everyone I know was going, oh, what a revelation. This guy is amazing.
It was very funny that the guy who caught hold of the blowing away jumping castle, which that sort of lives in my memory.
Oh, that's right.
Hilarious.
The ex-cop or something. Yeah. The one I really liked was there was the lady who was rolling across Australia.
She also
had cancer. Mm. And there were elements of that that really reminded me of my mum, who actually passed away from cancer prior to that show being on. So there were a lot of things that really resonated really beautifully, and he was being very edgy with some of his cultural stuff. But then, with the other series coming along, Summer Heights High, et cetera, seemed to get edgier and edgier, and to a point where, has he overstepped the mark?
Well, so, and here you are, and doing a series of, I mean, you know, it's all, in Lily's case, the controversy is a lot about race and a lot about his appropriation of the suggestion of race.
Yeah.
But here you are doing a show of characters where you're happy to sit there in your whiteness.
Yeah.
I mean, that's in its way, that's slightly problematic, I guess, but in its way also, it's a bit more honest.
Yeah. Well, I also don't sit there and when I'm coming up with characters and go, okay, what's another white character that's not too different to me that I won't have to do a funny accent for? I mean, I just do the characters that feel right, and they seem to be, for me, the ones that are closer to home. Like there'll be an age difference, there might be an attitude difference, there might be a socioeconomic difference, but they're still not that far away from me, and I feel comfortable doing them.
Which in that again, the thing that we talked about sort of believability, about truth in a character, to have them just over there, not sort of yards away, but just fairly close to you. That gives you an edge in sort of making them, you know, making them a believable thing.
That's right. I think, sadly, I say when I look at some of these characters, there's a solid percentage of me in all of them.
I want to send a whole lot of expendable people to the moon.
I know you've been thinking about it the whole time, haven't you?
I truly
right
do.
From the beginning. I'd love to know who's on your list.
You see, but I'd do it kind of maliciously, you see, and I suspect that's not been what you've done at this show.
Well, not me personally. Maybe the powers that be within the narrative of the show have done it slightly maliciously, but yeah.
Don't you sometimes look at the world and think it would just be so much better place without you, and you?
Mm. Yeah, I think we all think that way a little bit, don't we?
I think we probably do. If you want more detail, if you want the full facts on Ross's mission, on the people that, you know, perhaps we could do without that had been sent to the moon, By the nameless government, is it a nameless government agency, Ross, or does it have a name?
Oh, look, that gets discussed as well towards the end when I'm doing my little summing up and it's all being dissected. The space agency. Oh, I won't give that away because it's actually a gag.
It's a gag.
There's certain letters that go together that make up a funny Australian Space Agency. That's all I'm going to say.
Space Agency.
But I can tell you the show, the reality show, is called Osmonauts.
Osmonauts, that's
good.
Yeah,
where they're looking for the wrong stuff.
Strange name for a space agency that might make an amusing acronym.
With Australia in it and Space Service. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah. He's the man from Ars, Ross Daniels.
It could be close, not exactly right, but somewhere in that ballpark.
His show is called One Small Trip. You can catch it all this week at the Butterfly Club in Melbourne. We'll put a link up on the drive page on the RN website because we're here to help. Ross, thank you so very much.
Thank you for having me.
That is it for Drive tonight. I've been Jonathan Green. I won't be tomorrow because PK, she will be back. Normal service will resume. I can talk to you again at 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.